You're listening to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM. Cotton, Eureka, Arcata, and choose a town.
Oh, Freshwater.
Freshwater? Why yeah. Freshwater, Paul?
I like, there's a place called Pal Camp there, and I like that little place.
Okay. All right. I like Freshwater, too.
Do you? Freshwater's good for us.
All right. Well, you have Telebration, which is happening on Saturday. It's actually a part of an international celebration of storytelling.
Yeah, it's like a holiday for storytelling. And communities all around the world get a chance to celebrate the art of storytelling. And they do that by hosting a Telebration. And it could be like just a house party or, you know, having some friends over to swap stories. Or it could be a produced event, something more polished. And I guess that's the route I took this year, hosting an event. And it's an opportunity to reclaim storytelling for grown-ups.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. So that I embraced that notion. I guess it's been about 12 years I've been doing Telebration here in Humboldt County. Maybe more. I kind of lose track. And
so people should come to this event even if they don't have kids.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think primarily the stories that will be told, we're going to be doing urban legends and tall tales and ghost stories. And the content for most of those will probably be over the head for real little ones. So I wouldn't bring anybody under five.
Yeah, that's what Carpathian, I think, was saying whenever he was in here, too, on Halloween. And I think you mentioned that as well. Yeah, but it'll be really cool for people of all ages above five.
Yes, absolutely. And the focus is on urban legends. And I love that's probably my favorite genre of stories. I probably have more of those than any type of story I tell. And I love them because they're contemporary.
I love them, too. I played Tom Waits doing Phantom 309 earlier today.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, my gosh, that's a great story.
And so that story is a spin off of The Vanishing Hitchhiker.
Oh, really?
So there is an urban legend of The Vanishing Hitchhiker. And the premise is the opposite. It's reversed from The Phantom 309, that the driver of the vehicle is not a ghost. It's the passenger that they pick up.
Oh, cool.
And so that's The Vanishing Hitchhiker. And the story of Phantom 309 was a songwriter who took that Vanishing Hitchhiker and gave it a little twist. But it's also based on a little bit of fact. And I'm going to reveal that at Telebration, the true story of the Phantom 309.
How do you find out the true stories?
Well, I did a lot of research. So it's going to the library and reading and collecting old newspapers, or nowadays I can do a lot of it on the internet, and finding old newspaper articles that document incidents that allegedly happened, and then I try and verify them and find out if it's true and then match it up to the folklore behind it.
Oh, cool.
So for example, at Telebration, Carpathian will tell The Vanishing Hitchhiker, the traditional tale, which goes back before automobiles. It goes back to the horse and buggy days. They've been telling that story that long, but it's still contemporary. So he'll tell that, and then I'm going to come and tell the true story that was the basis for Phantom 309, and then I will do Phantom 309. So people will actually get the process of folklore right before their very eyes and ears, of how a story evolves and changes and why it evolves and changes.
So, well, it does that to keep it relevant, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And to meet the needs of society now, right? Story switches because there's a new need. There's an urgency for a certain element to be shared. And so the stories adapt.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to share a story with us now?
I can do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one that I probably won't tell because I don't want to tell the ones I'm going to actually tell at the show.
I know. You don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, you know, because if you come, then you go, oh, I already heard that. So this is one I probably won't tell. I was a student at Humboldt State University starting in 1996. Lasted kind of a long time. I was there a while. But it was a wonderful experience. And I had to take a lot of science courses. And one of them was chemistry, at a chemistry class. And the professor was notorious for being an unreasonable human being. He didn't seem to care whether we succeeded or not. He had his task to do, and he set out to do it. And one of the things he did was in the chemistry lab, he refused to let us bring in our food and beverages. And college students, they don't get to eat on schedule. You know, you got snacks in your backpack. You got, you know, coffee cups, or you got your energy drink, you know. And you tote it around with you, and you consume when you can to fortify yourself and energize yourself. And so a lot of them didn't pay any attention to the sign, you know. It's like, I'm bringing my stuff in. I need it, you know. And so he comes in one day and he says, you know, we're about to conduct an experiment, and we're going to be using some dangerous chemicals, so I want you to put all your food and drink away. And pretty much everybody complies, except for this one student. He's sitting in the back. He's got a jar of peanuts. And he reaches in, grabs a peanut, pops it in his mouth, chews it on down. And it was like he was saying, what are you going to do about it, to the professor? The professor thinks, well, maybe he didn't hear me. He's sitting in the back. So he says, before we proceed, I'd like everybody to put their food away. We're going to be using some dangerous chemicals. It could poison your food. So if it's put away safely, then there's no risk. And we won't proceed until everybody's complied. And the student reaches into the jar of peanuts and takes out another peanut and pops it in his mouth. So the professor walks to the back of the room, and he approaches the student and says, those must be absolutely delicious. You can't seem to resist eating them. Do you mind if I try one? Student pushes the jar towards the professor. He picks up the jar, he takes out a peanut, and he sticks it up his nose, like this. And then he shoots it out of his nose into the jar, puts the lid on, and shakes it all up. Then hands the jar to the student and says, you can eat all the peanuts you like. And he didn't have any problem from then on with students eating in his class.
That was an awesome way of the professor to handle that. Oh,
don't
my gosh.
You think?
Yes. He tried to use reason with him first, and then...
He wasn't so unreasonable at all, was he? He was actually a pretty nice guy.
Is that a true story?
It is truly a story.
Truly a story. I like that. Truly a story. Well.
Thank you.
Well, Telebration is happening Saturday at 7 p.m., and you can get advance tickets on over at Wildberries for $7.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable, don't you think?
Very reasonable, especially since 12 and under are free.
Yeah.
And any person 12 and under, free. And $7 at Wildberries, $10 at the door. The sanctuary is super easy to find. It's just on the corner of J Street and 13th.
Yeah, it's like a couple of blocks over from Wildberries Marketplace.
I know, you can like walk over there.
Yeah, that's what I usually do is I park at the Wildberries parking lot. Sorry.
And then tell everybody that.
Oh, okay. I didn't say that. Let's just take that back.
I usually am down usually towards the Playhouse usually or over at the Plaza, and so I always just walk up there. Yeah,
that's a much more reasonable idea. You're not infringing on the Shoppers of Wildberries. Sorry, I feel like a bad person now.
Well, you send business to them by having the tickets there, but yes. Plus, you're going to have a songstress there,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm really excited. Carpathia and I met her. She joined us this year at our storytelling down at Old Town Coffee and Chocolates for Halloween, and she's a lot of fun. She's really perky, and she writes her own songs. So we'll have intervals of stories and songs, and I think that'll be a really nice contribution to the show.
That's wonderful. And her name is Lisa Shari?
Lisa Shari, yeah.
Shari, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that'll be super awesome. Do you want to tell another one? Or do you want to save them all for Saturday?
No, I can tell another one. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to tell people, I'm going to do a sort of a Urban Legends 101, and I'm going to explain to people what an urban legend is and what a tall tale is.
Okay.
And throughout the course of the evening, once they've heard the distinction between the two, I'll have them try and figure out which is which. So that when I tell the story, is it a tall tale or an urban legend?
Okay, so the last one would have been a tall tale, right?
The last one you think would, and why would you say that?
Because... It's, I don't know. What is the difference?
Okay, good. Good question. So,
because I feel like I know the difference in the back of my head, but I don't know how to explain it.
So a tall tale would be a story that is thought to be true or at least based on a real person, but has been embellished, exaggerated. So, for example, Paul Bunyan in American folklore is based on a real logger. Somebody who was a lumberjack, mm-hmm. who was proficient at it. He was better than anybody else, bigger, stronger. And what they did was they just embellished him. And he became a folk figure. And mm-hmm. his activities just grew with it, right? So that with a single swing of his axe, he could fell a tree. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's an example of a tall tale. An urban legend then has the elements of it is told as if it is true, like a tall tale. And elements of it are true. And it's contemporary. It's happening now. And it's usually a friend of a friend of a friend, or I read it in the newspaper, or my cousin told me, or I read it on the internet, and it's passed on that way. And that everything about it seems plausible, but there's just one little thing that makes it false.
Okay. All right.
So
then the story you just told was not a tall tale.
Correct. It was an urban legend.
It was an urban legend.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'll tell you one now and see if you can differentiate and tell which it is. So I moved to Humboldt County, like I said, in 1996. And when I came up here and I'd moved all my furniture and everything. It was a warm day. It was like mid-70s, and I was perspiring. And I thought, I'm going to go for a swim. It's hot out. I want to refresh myself. And I know the ocean's cold. I've lived on the North Coast all my life, and I've swam in the ocean and in San Francisco Bay. I know it's cold, but I saw a sign that said Blue Lake. So I thought, I'm going to go to Blue Lake for a swim. And I get on the highway, go up 101 north and take the 299 exit, and I'm going east to Blue Lake. And I take the turnoff, and I drive around town, and I can't find a lake anywhere. I looked all over, and there's no lake. I found the river, so I swam there. And I was refreshed, it was nice, and I was hungry. So I just stopped at the local watering hole, the Logger's Bar, for some refreshments and some food. And while I was there, I asked the barkeep, I said, why is this town called Blue Lake? Because you don't even have a lake. He said, well, we used to. I said, what? He goes, yeah, look. And on the wall were pictures of Blue Lake. There were people swimming in it. There was a little boat floating on it. And people were fishing. I said, okay, I see the picture. I see the lake there. Where is it? Where did it go? I mean, it didn't just get up and walk away, did it? He said, oh, no, nothing like that. He said, it was probably about 50 years ago. It's a real cold winter. And a flock of geese migrating south stopped at Blue Lake to refresh themselves and recharge. And they were paddling around in the lake. And the temperature dropped suddenly to freezing. And the lake froze solid. And the poor geese got stuck in the lake. Their little feet were anchored in the lake, in the ice. Aww. When they panicked, who wouldn't, right? And they began to flap their wings furiously. And in unison, up in the air they went, with Blue Lake stuck to their feet. And they just continued to fly south. And they took Blue Lake with them. And that is why there is no lake in Blue Lake.
So that, because it was in the past, it would be a tall tale.
And what else would make it a tall tale? What other part would you say would make it a tall tale?
Than it not being contemporary?
The exaggeration, right?
Yes, it was very exaggerated.
There's an embellishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not very plausible that a lake is going to freeze. One, they don't freeze solid, right? The tops of a lake freeze, but
yeah,
it doesn't freeze solid.
The whole thing
wouldn't freeze. That it's not.
And then a ton
physically
of,
possible. And then
a ton of geese. Yeah,
they couldn't lift it up, right? and fly with it, you know. So there's that exaggeration that then puts it in the realm of a tall tale.
Oh, that's
Of course, cool. In this case, it was absolutely true. I mean, that, I know the barkeep didn't lie to me.
Oh, well, of course not. At the locker? Nobody lies at the locker.
And of course, when I heard that story, I knew, as a storyteller myself, that I had moved to the right place for me.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so funny that the lake disappeared like the second they made the town.
Yes.
It was kind of funny.
It's an interesting idea, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They should change the name, don't you think?
I don't know. It kind of gives it its own little charm. I have a song to play after the commercials about that. But Telebration is going on Saturday at 7 p.m. It's $7 advance tickets of Wildberries. I would get them there. $10 at the door, and it is free for people who are under 12. It is suggested that you are over 5. To attend this event so that you can get full enjoyment out of it. And it's at the Sanctuary, which is at 1301 J Street in Arcata. And I'll share the Facebook event on our website, as well as post this interview for anyone who is looking to reference the information again.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Well, have a fun time on Saturday.
I will. And you enjoy your endeavor on Saturday night as well.
Okay, I will. Yes, I'm in a play, and so I can't make it, but... I'll come out to another one of your storytelling events.
Well, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, and you keep doing what you're doing, and we'll both get a chance to see each other.
And then they'll merge, yeah.
Eventually,
maybe we can merge them.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, it would.
I would like that.
We'll talk more later. Anyway, Kulika is up next. You're listening to KM.